Welcome to Beyond the Boundary, Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
For the latest in local football news, you come to one place. You come to Beyond the Boundary. Thanks to Kerr's Hire. Very good afternoon, Jason Doherty.
Yes, Tom King. Lovely to be here again. Thanks to Jared and the team at Kerr's Hire. What great people they are.
North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove.
Absolutely.
Let's start with some sad news out of the last week. Keith Jamieson, Scruncher. One of our favourites from East Geelong.
Yes,
the most famous nine-game player in the reserves at Richmond Crescent, unfortunately, passed away.
Yes, he did.
Late last week.
He did. Yes, no. An absolute club legend. Was named a club legend as well at East. And, didn't have a bad word to say about anybody and would say hello to everybody. And I know, so the great Rags Jones at Newtown, the lolly man, Scrunch was the original lolly man. He used to come over at three-quarter time in the GD van and make sure we were always given enough lollies. So he was the original lolly man, he was. Team manager for a very long time at the club. And I think at most of the time got involved with the song and everything after the game as well. He loved it. He was very passionate.
Yeah. So to Sharon and the kids, our thoughts are with you. I believe the farewell is next Wednesday afternoon.
It is.
Which may actually mean there might not be a Beyond the Boundary next week.
Well, they won't be on Wednesday anyway because I'll be on a plane from Canberra. But anyway, that's another story. Yes. But anyway, so it's at 2 o'clock, I believe, on Wednesday.
Probably be paying my respects. We'll work that out.
Yes.
Kelly Thistlethwaite at Geelong West passed away, unfortunately, in a motor vehicle accident on the weekend. She was a real force behind Geelong West's football program in its early days. I know her daughter, Laura, very well. Laura played in that team and Kelly actually pulled the boots on as well. So very sad there. So our thoughts are with the Thistlethwaite family. Obviously, it puts into perspective that this, as much as not, it's great news compared to obviously the suffering being felt by the Jamieson and Thistlethwaite families. Mm. We've just had news today that Michael Culliver has ruptured an ACL, the Werribee Central's captain, which is a massive blow to their hopes of winning a first flag in more than 20 years. So we've just had that confirmed to us. Horrible for Michael Culliver, who I would suspect would have been polling well in the Whitley. The only thing is he's out with the suspension, but
well,
with a chance he will
be on the leaderboard. Absolutely. Yeah.
So,
That's no good. You don't like to see great players miss finals.
Yep. Since we last convened, two coaching appointments. One that surprised us a little bit is that Shane Manning's coaching Corio.
Yeah.
So Adam Bell and Ross Gemmell, after one season, farewelled.
Yep.
And Wade Chapman will take the role at North Shore, local football's worst-kept secret.
Absolutely. I think everybody, including Wade, knew that he was coaching at North Shore.
You're correct. So he will take on the role there for 3 years. Bowen Heads and Geelong Amateur are playing at Winter Reserve this week, if you're not aware. So if you are a Bowen Heads fan or a Geelong Amateur fan wondering where this game will be, knowing that Howard Harmer Oval is out of action due to the pavilion upgrade works, that will be played at the resort.
Take a jacket at the resort. Take a jacket.
Saturday afternoon. Spoke with Nipper Highland. They looked at Lara.
Okay.
Taking the game out there, but just the distance in the end.
A bit too far away,
Talked about going to Queen's Park for the second time this year. That didn't enamour the coaching staff. Leopold was looked at. Newcomb. There's been some issues with the drainage at Newcomb.
Ooh.
So they're trying to limit traffic on there.
Before the finals.
Won't impact finals. Because they will get a little break between Newcomb's last home game and preliminary final. But just to give it the best chance, they were knocked back on that. St Mary's was looked at. That was going to fall, though, on the Saturday. They didn't want to play the Sunday, so that was going to fall on the Saturday at Kidinya Park.
Yep.
Which they can't play on because the Cats are there as well. Leopold had their 70th anniversary reunion on Saturday night.
Yes.
Teams of the 25 years, teams of the decade. We'll go through that team of the 25 years with Ben Carmichael, who played at Leopold a little bit later.
Yep.
Reunions at Torquay this week. They play Anglesey, the 86 championship winning team.
Jeez, there were some names in that team,
which
wasn't
I still believe holds the record for the highest score in Ballerine history at 55-24, I think
ridiculous
the score was. The team was
unbelievable.
Who were
they playing that day?
They actually beat St Leonard's.
Wow. No way.
Unbelievably, St Leonard's kicked four goals.
Oh, they managed the time to kick four majors.
Well, the word is they kicked the first four.
God, really?
Yeah.
No.
I don't know if that's true or not. Oh, I'd have to go back and find the box score in an old Geelong Addy or similar.
God.
I have the record from the 1986 Where'd grand final. Where
did you get that from?
Somebody's looked after me. So yeah, Mark Brown, former Cat, former Geelong West star, father of Madison and Kels.
Yes.
He won the Ash Medal that year.
Right.
And won the goal kicking.
Not a bad year.
Kicked 80-odd.
Not a bad year.
Not a bad year at all. Kicked 80-odd. I think he's one of only three people to do the double.
Yeah, right.
So he kicked 83.
Yep.
And then they actually had five in the top eight leading goal kickers in the competition, kicking 46 or more.
Wow. Well, no wonder. One day they kicked 55.
There was a bloke called Ferret running around for them.
Ferret.
Sarah.
Yes. I see both Sarahs are in the team.
And his brother.
Yes.
So Paul and Phil.
Yeah.
Roger Boak.
Yes, the great Boak. I saw him in the photo.
Captain coach was Paul Doran from St Mary's.
Yep.
David Rowe, who played VFA with West, but won an Ash Medal, I think, at Port Arlington, was in the side.
Yep.
The Van Tags were in there as well. Shane, who I think played some 19s at Geelong. A very young, late Andrew Gribble.
Yes, I saw him in the middle of the photo. I saw on
when he came
Facebook.
Down, came down from Swan Hill.
Yes.
David Mazick turned into, I think, became a Ballerine leading goal kicker later in his career. Vic Seppi was a star. It's hard to go past how strong a side that was.
They were,
They're also celebrating their 2006 boys, who did it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. They became the first team to win it from out of an elimination final.
Yeah, right.
In 06.
A little bit different.
Beat Newcombe in the 2006 decider under Adam Skrobalak.
The great Skrobalak.
And a very young Ben Raidme.
It would have been 2006.
Yep. Jeez. And at the other end of the scale, a nearly done Nigel Browning.
Yes.
Who was a gun. Nigel Browning played the Falcons flag in 92.
He did. He certainly did, Nigel. Yes, he did.
So that was
there you go.
So enjoy your celebrations.
Be big down there.
Yeah, I would love to have got Mark Brown on. Mm. Maybe we get him on at some stage down the track. Because his story is unbelievable. Because not only, so obviously his lovely wife Chris passed away last year.
Absolutely.
Not only was Mark an outstanding footballer, not only is he an outstanding human being, I think he plays the drums all right too.
Really?
So Tobias was the,
right up your alley, Tom.
Yes, well, Chris can sing and the girls can sing.
Yes, right up your alley. Yeah. Look at that. Music, sport, you don't need anything more, do you, really?
Plenty of re-signings.
Yep.
Geelong West, Max Kelly, Bailey Harvey.
That's good.
Captain and vice-captain have committed for next year.
Nice.
At Winchelsea, Jordan Huff, their captain, has committed.
Good.
Bunch of re-signings at South Barwon.
Oh, yes.
Led by Oscar Pollock among them. The Boris.
Yes, I saw that. Number 44.
Grovedale. Now, I believe Tom Gillett was the subject of interest of GDFNL clubs, one in particular.
Right.
Re-signed.
Yes, he has. Yes, the Mulwara Boodoo. We love that.
Some big numbers.
Oh.
Have you got any news?
No. Well, I've got my, no.
Oh, you've got Powerbrokers.
I've got Powerbrokers, yes.
Ballerine, Max Vigona had 41 from Anglesey, 19 contested, 11 clearances. Lockie Kidd, 40, 21 contested, 15 clearances. These are for Kerr's High, by the way.
Of course.
Oscar Cook, 40, 15 contested from Motowari, 13 rebound 50s. Logan Wagner, 37. We'll dig deeper on this with Ben Carmichael later because they played Drysdale. 15 contested, 8 inside 50, 7 clearances. And we believe the vision's not correct.
Yeah, we believe he's a bit short on those numbers.
So we'll get a little bit more out of Binger a little bit later.
Yep.
GFNL, Jordy Purcell's come back from North Geelong to North Shore, and he's had 37 in a team that
back.
Got beaten by 27 goals.
Yeah, not bad.
17 contested, 8 clearances. Noah Tullio, first game of the year for Newtown because he got dropped by Werribee.
He did.
He might be going back quickly. 33, 13 contested, 8 inside 50s. Jordy Cam's joining us a bit later.
Yes.
Jed Hennessy's had 57.
That's ridiculous.
In Thompson's big win over Geelong West. 22 contested.
And kicked 7, didn't he?
11 marks, 7 goals.
That's
Josh
ridiculous.
Mawson, 41, 23 contested, 12 clearances. Jake McLean from East Geelong had 40, 12 contested. All those numbers on the Premier data stat
sheets. Amazing, isn't it? That is amazing.
Curse, huh?
Yeah, right.
Big numbers.
Big numbers.
Let's have a look at your... Power brokers.
Oh, righty-o.
So can you give us 20 through 16, which you gave us a fortnight ago?
Yes, 20 through 16. So at number 20, a new addition to the Power Brokers, Ben Maloney, coach of Winchelsea.
19,
coming down from number 15, and I've had feedback, Matt Kershaw, just hanging on, Kersh. 18, Cam Healy, down from 14 to 18.
President of Torquay.
Yeah, President of Torquay. A new addition, the President of Newcombe, Matt Farrow, at 17. And at 16, well, he's had a big week too. Was at number 13 last year, Marion Sponner, the President of North Shore.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
Right, so 15 through 11, please,
Jase. Yes, 15. So new at 15.
New at 15.
Craig Keating. AFL Victoria Bowen Regional Council Chair he is. He's back with a vengeance, the great Keating.
The former chair.
The former AFL Bowen Chair. And a bit of work to do with Lisa Patterson and AFL Victoria. So Craig makes the list. Number 14, and this bloke's got a bullet. He might be in the top 10 next year if he keeps going. Purveyor of thirds football, the great man from the Cooter Bowl, Heath Jamieson,
right,
is at number 14. And he has a bullet on him. Number 13, standard. She was number 13 last year, KC and the Sunshine Band, the great Sally Flynn from St Mary's, doing a bit of work to do at the end of the year, finding a new coach and a few bits and pieces going on there.
Well, not potentially.
Well,
because they're not ruling out the current bloke going by himself.
They're going with a co-coach.
Luke Rayner.
They're going with a co-coach. Don't worry about that.
Right.
Number 12, new, Sarah Naylor, the AFL Bowen Head of Football. Big job in the next couple of years for Sarah. See how we go there. And number 11 now, this bloke. He's starting to rock the joint. He's starting to do a few bits and pieces. Up from number 17, the great Jared Griffin. He's just about top 10 material now, Jerry. Watch out. He's got it. He's got spilt milk and he's got a few other bits and pieces. And he's locked the GFL finals in, grand final in for 3 years. He's a mover and a shaker, Jerry. So let's see where he goes in 27 as well.
Number 15, Craig Keating. Number 14, Heath Jamieson. Number 13, Sally Flynn. Number 12, Sarah Naylor. Number 11, Jared Griffin. We'll bring you 10 to 6 next week.
Next week.
Big show coming up. Geordie Cam to join us a little bit later. Ben Carmichael as well. But after the break, chat first time this year with St Albans coach Rick Munn.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire. Quality equipment for hire and sales.
First time in the Dave Collins studios for our next guest as we talk about a club who they've made some strides. You look at their percentage, Jase, and you actually would go, you think you've won more games when you've got a percentage that's got a 9 at the start of it.
Absolutely.
But it tells you they've been competitive. There's a little bit of 2019 about this St Albans team. So in 2019 under Chris Carlon, went 5-13, finished with a percentage I think of about 92, but had so many losses by 4 or 5 goals or less. So very competitive without getting over the line. There's a little bit about this St Albans team about the that looks like 2019, but hopefully we don't get a pandemic to follow that halts the that halts the momentum. The coach of St Albans, he joins us not long after signing a 3-year contract extension.
He's buying us lunch at some stage.
Why not?
Wow,
Rick Munn, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
Thanks for joining us. 3-year contract extended with, I think you still had a year to run. Is that right? You were contracted till the end of next year initially.
Pretty much, I think I had one to go and then an option for another one on the back of that. It was good to Ozzy initiated it, it was a pretty easy decision in the end. Decided to commit for another couple of years.
It's a great show of faith in you, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, and the people around me, and what we've done so far together in nearly 2 years. So it's been fun, challenging, and I think the best is still yet to come for us. Yeah.
So you are. Quick calculation, you're about 33 games in to this, 34 games in. Can you talk to us about whether the challenge has been greater than you expected when you took on the role in September 2024?
I wouldn't say it's been greater. Like, I had a little bit of experience a long time ago. Like, I coached in the Western Region League as a playing coach. Now, that was challenging. So trying to do both as a 27-year-old who... thought he knew everything back then, and coaching was easy. Learnt so much doing that, and then also had a bit of a stint up in Cairns as a coach. With Wes co-coaching up there, we made the grand final. Unfortunately, got pipped by Aaron Davey and the Cairns Lions up there. But so I had a little bit of a taste of it, and some good role models in Buddha and. Daniel Fraser and a couple others. So, pretty much knew what I was getting into. Yeah.
And the season this year, I suppose there was expectation, a lot of recruits, you kept a lot of your group from last year. Has it panned out the way you thought it was going to pan out?
Look, that's a great question. we were
without the wins and losses. Yeah, let's not worry about the wins and losses. Yeah. In terms of the actual structure of the way you're playing the game and how you're meeting the other teams, and I mean, this is a project. I mean, we speak to Nealty, obviously, and when he came to the job, it was 54 games for him, you know, like to see where it was all at. You're still another season away from possibly where you think the group might be. But so where are you on that journey at the moment?
When I first took on the role, we had a three-year plan to compete for finals in year three.
Yep.
So although we had six wins last year, we're at four so far this year. We sort of knew year three, if we could keep our group together and keep adding, and initially our first 2 years is let's just try and add as much talent as we possibly can through the door, and we'll just work it out.
Yep.
I think that's really what we had to do. Whereas this year we've had to be, twos are going really well at 12 o'clock. We're squeezed on points every week. I don't think there's been once this year where I've looked up on the whiteboard and been able to pick my best 22, because we have been squeezed on points, which is another story. But
I don't think you're on your Pat Malone with that story either. Can I tell you?
Yeah, I was promised myself I'd keep it positive about that.
But is the key now for you guys the fives and four pointers that you've got, or the three pointers?
Yeah,
you've got to keep them next year, so you do have that capacity to be able to bring those next group in.
Yeah,
and You might play at 43 next year, but your group is, you've got four or five extras that is going to make the difference between you winning five or six games and winning 10 games.
No, absolutely. We, I think 90% of our list is re-signed already.
Yeah, that's great.
Which is great. Yeah, that's good. And we've got a few commitments already for next year that fit that category.
Sure.
Play at high level footy and we'll be able to come in and, impact. We're genuinely excited about what we can do, and we've been competitive, and you have the chats with the opposition coaches and supporters after the game, and they give you the pat on the back. But as I keep saying to my boys, I've had enough of those, and it's time we take a scalp, and we've got 4 weeks to do that this year and keep building for next year.
11 of your 22 on the weekend were 2 points or greater. So if you were to play that team in round one next year, you'd be at 32 points. That gives you the ability to go and get a couple of four-pointers or three points. So you have the ability to get some quality there. The other player I want to ask you about is Eddie Ford. Now, obviously injury has derailed his season. You won't see him. Have you had a conversation with him about what 2027 looks like?
Yeah, we have. We're catching up with him, I believe, at the end of the VFL season.
Has he got back to playing yet with Collingwood?
No, he won't. He won't play this year. So he had surgery, I believe it all pretty successfully, and he basically to set himself up for a full preseason next year. He'll do a full preseason, and as long as he stays healthy and happy and. Everything's on track to have that conversation with him next year about us being his feeder club. Yeah.
When's Matt McKenzie coming home?
Well, the first 2 years he's told me no. I didn't get a no this time. So that's what I'll say. We've kept the door open. When he comes back, we're a bit better team. His leadership is second to none. He went forward a couple of weeks ago. And having him and Higgins against Geelong West was, that'd be a handful for any GFL team, especially the way Tom's going. So we'd be lying if we said we didn't want him, but there's a bit of water to go under the bridge. He's got a season to finish off with West Perth. They should play finals in the development league. So we'll have that conversation with him at the end of the year, but he hasn't said no to me yet. Yeah.
It's a good start.
Yeah.
From forwards, mids, defenders perspective in terms of where do you think you're at with all of the different bits, I suppose? I was always taught defend first and then everything else will work that. I don't know what your coaching philosophy is, but like in terms of where you feel you're at with each line, where do you think you're sitting at the moment?
Yeah, I couldn't be happier with our back seven or eight. Yep. Like we've got Ethan Mantis, Noah Cockerell, you know, Joe Osborne's come along leap and bounds. He had a great game of the weekend against Lockie Peck. You know, he gets a big job every week and done a great job. And then we've got some really exciting kids off halfback as well, which we're pumping games into, and Blake Hodgson and Ethan Hobbs, etc. So I think our back seven or eight is really good.
Yep.
Obviously, I think we've got the best key forward in the comp in Tom Higgins, who has been outstanding this year. And we've got some good support acts down there. But for me, absolutely where we need to get better, unquestionably, is in the engine room. Yeah, we have a look at on the weekend. We come up against, you know, Garner and Jansen and even Fletcher Hughes, despite him being young. He's a, you know, he's a really good, outstanding young ruckman.
Yeah.
You know, we've got, you know, we're asking, you know, 2, 3, 4 gamers to come in there and do the job. And they do it to their best of their ability, and we'll keep blooding them and we'll keep giving them games. But I'll put the advertisement out there. We're looking for some experience through the engine room. We could provide opportunities for that, you know, whether it be playing assistant type roles as well to get there, the opportunity. Yeah.
Depending on how he goes for the rest of the year, Tom Higgins, big chance to win the goal kicking. I don't know when the last time a St Albans player won the goal kicking. I'm going to go with Wayne Tyquin winning a GFL goal kick.
You would have thought so, wouldn't you? A long time ago.
Jace Perkins did.
Did he really?
About a decade ago. Yep.
Right.
Yep. So, okay. But before that, you're probably going back to Ticker.
Yeah.
Now, he's kicked 108 goals in 30 games. He's only been held goalless once in 30 games. That's quite incredible. But I've still got a sneaking suspicion he's actually only scratching the surface of what he could produce. He's still growing into his body, isn't he? He still hasn't got to the body that he can be, where he will just monster key defenders.
Yeah, and he's what he's added to his game this year, and you know, I wouldn't be saying anything out of school here, because you know, you can't hide in the GFL. There's footage and vision.
Everybody knows what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. He'll attend a couple of CBAs a game. He's playing higher for us this year, so he's getting to more contests. Right. Last year he sort of played that 0-30 role, you know, quite well. This year he's added the ability to get up the ground and get more involved. So, I think he's lost. He would have been 25 kilos since he'd been with us. I remember the very first interaction with Tom Higgins, actually. He sent me a, because all we had was this grainy vision of this
in the
kid.
Middle of Western Australia.
Yeah, this
playing
kid. We've got this like one vision. And it was just like, let's keep the goal from about 55, but I can't squeeze it in and zoom it in. And we couldn't quite, that's all we had. Yeah. But we obviously his stats from PlayHQ, and then he played in a similar league to Tom Gillett, and he kicked 70 odd goals in that league when he played there, and Higgins kicked 50 odd. I'm like, let's just give him a go.
He can't be far away.
So so we went out, you know, leap of faith. He turned up the training and we're like, okay, we've got
bit of work to do.
We've got a bit of work to do. But he sent me this video like a week before he was coming in, and it's him on a treadmill. And I'm like, we've got a character here. He
wants to have a crack.
He's in. Yeah. And he's turned up the train. He's come lacing out. And he said that just the ball just stuck to his hands. Mm. And then he's turned around, U-turn, onto his left foot and laced out Harry Cockerell, 55-metre kick on his left foot. And I just said to the boys, we've got one here.
Yeah.
We can work with this. Yeah.
He's not an athlete, he's a footballer, isn't he?
He's a great...
Like, from that perspective, he looks like he just plays footy. Like, he's a footballer. Like, when they went through the Blitzarves years of trying to find steeplechases, like, you know, and you find athletes, he just looks like he's a bloke who just loves playing footy.
Yeah, he loves playing footy. Yeah. He's good on the lip. he loves the crowd give it to him every week, and so do the opposition coaches. They love giving it to him.
And his mum gets involved.
Mum gets involved. But what they don't
Steve
know about...
Steve Johnson will be listening.
Yes, he will be. That's right.
The more you lip him, the better he gets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd be better off saying nothing.
Yeah, because it just fuels him. Yeah. And he's great. He's been a great ambassador for our footy club. Like I said, I think he's only scratching the surface. He had a little bit of a taste at Carlton VFL last year. Got some things to work on, but yeah, he implements. He's got some good people around him. I can easily see him getting an opportunity this pre-season or off-season and making the most of it.
How much does his little mate in the 17 at Geelong motivate him?
Yeah, they live together. So I think he's got good role models around him. And Lawson's, you know, been around our footy club a little bit this year. And he's a great guy as well. So, there's, I've no doubt that Lawson.
We love country boys, don't we? Yeah, we love country boys. They're good. They're good value. They're good value.
South Barwin, Colac, Bell Park, Newtown to finish.
You have to win one, don't you? You have to get a scalp.
Look, I think absolutely we'll be aiming to get one. Like this last time we played South Barwin, you know, I think we were 9 points down heading into the half, and I think we're right in this game. We're doing really well. They kicked the last goal, you know, in the last 30 seconds of the quarter, I think, and took them to 9 points. But all the numbers were lighting up green for us. It was looking pretty good. Going to halftime, you know, Rach, who does a great job with our medical team, she came up to me and said, Tyson's out, Cody's out, so we've got 20. I'm thinking, that's all right, we'll make it work. And then 5 minutes into the third quarter, lost Kuda, lost Coley, then we lost two others. And so we're down halfway through the third quarter, we're down to 16. Had to play two out of the goal square. And it just took South Barwon just a little bit to work out that we had two in the goal square. But once they worked that out, they put the hammer down and it was game over from there. Yeah,
10 goals in the last quarter.
Yeah, like we tried to hide it. Kuda actually kicked two goals on my leg from the goal square, I think. So, but anyway, yeah. So we've got them super competitive against Colac at Colac. Again, maybe 5 minutes cost us. Five goals in the game. We didn't have Tom that day, Higo. So, yeah, he would have made, obviously, a big difference for us. Bell Park again. I think the first quarter they jumped us, but the last three quarters was a good game of footy. And, Newtown, we jumped them, and then they fought back, and that was a good game of footy. I think we lost by four goals. So, but they're a great team. Yeah, looking forward to the challenge.
Yep. Off the field, what keeps Rick Munn entertained?
Well, I've got three kids. That keeps me me entertained. Yeah,
you had a young fella playing at Leopold.
Yeah, he's I've got two boys at Leopold. So yep. One in the bottom age under 16s, and he's going well. And Caleb, that's Brody, and then Caleb in the under 14s.
Are they entrenched at Leopold? Like it'd be hard to.
I'll stay out of that. Yeah. Let them play with their mates, and I don't get too involved in that stuff. Like I think Brody's. He made the V-line squad, so he's going okay, and they've got a good setup down there and good coaching. So and he gets to play with his mates, and yeah. So as long as he's happy, I'm happy.
Yep. So you're still loitering around Leopold?
I hide on the other side of the ground. They see me there sometimes, but
it's a small town. That's the way it works, isn't it? That's what happens.
I live 100 metres from the ground, so like it's pretty hard not to be there. I'm down there all the time, kicking the foot with the boys. Yeah. Yeah,
work wise.
Yeah, I work for a coaching consulting company called High Performance Father. So we basically are a business that helps dads with resources and skills to be better dads, better partners, better business partners. Often we deal with blokes and men who are going through challenging times and circumstances, and our role is to support them and not act as obviously we don't replace the psychologists and the counsellors, but what we do is arm them with the right skills to go and find them
probably to start with, because some of them wouldn't find them, would they? Or wouldn't know where to find them?
They wouldn't know what to do. So we get a lot of farmers, a lot of FIFO workers, a lot of. Business owners, founders, and sort of, they put a lot of their discipline and work into and their time into their work and careers and sort of their families get the leftovers. What we try and do is just help them redirect some of that time. Yeah.
It's a niche space. How did you land in it?
Yeah, so I've been in coaching and consulting for a little while. So I was at Clinic Mastery where we sort of did similar but for clinic owners and businesses and in allied health.
Yep.
Yeah, and so I was a shareholder there sold out of there about 12 months ago. And the High Performance Father got hold of me on LinkedIn and that was it. So I'm in. Yeah. Nice. So, it's good.
So work remotely?
I work remotely, which is obviously helps.
Flexibility, we love that.
The flexibility and getting around. Obviously with your footy, it's really important. So. Yeah, no, it's super fulfilling too. Like it's a lot of transferable skills that you have in that space, you can take into coaching young men at footy as well. So it's hugely fulfilling. Yeah,
just want to, sorry, I should have asked this earlier. I want to circle back.
Yep.
It was a big past players day a few weeks ago, but what made it big was Ron Osborne and Mr. Grinter, and I can't yes. call him Cliff. It's really funny. I can call Ron Osborne Ron, but I just can't bring myself to it's always been Mr. Grinter. Cliff and Ronnie had their joint 90s. Now, Cliffy's was back on Australia Day. He's yep. January 26th. Ronnie's is more middle of the year. What was that like for the club celebrating basically their icons?
They are. St. Albans. Yeah. Oh, look, the boys get a leg up when they're around. Like, when we win, they're in the circle. And, you know, Ronnie had a lot of family down as well because he had his 90th the next day. So I was lucky enough to attend that. They are icons, and the boys love them. But not only do they get around our senior program and development program, but they're there on Sundays for the juniors and getting involved in the into circle. And they're just obviously greats at the footy club, and they like to remind us as well of their achievements of yesteryear,
past glories,
and the burial ground that's in the forward pocket out near the netball courts where they've got a few skeletons. So. No, it's good stuff, yeah.
Are you sick of looking in the rooms and seeing that the last two senior premiership photos are 87 and 88 and that next year it ticks over to 40 years for the first of that double? It's a long time between drinks for a footy club.
Yeah, it is. And I think you've got to break it down into steps. You know, I think for us, like we want to break the... I think it's been 20 years since we played finals.
Mm. Yeah, about 04, 03, yeah.
Yeah, so that's front of mind, and we want to tick that box first. And but I think footy can change, pretty quickly. I think, if you get the right people, and you get the right plan and the right off field support staff, and then get lucky with a couple of recruits. I think that you have a look at some of the other teams that have been really lucky with some of the connections, and you can spike pretty quickly, I think. Yeah.
What do you make of Chris Brown's articles in the Geelong Advertiser? You got an opinion?
Yeah, I do have an opinion. I wanted to keep it as positive as I possibly could today, but I suppose where I draw the line and my opinion, I won't go into too much detail, but I just I'll look at it and go, we win six games for the first time in I don't know how long.
A long time.
Yeah. We play at 46 points. We finished eighth, and we go to 43 points. Fair enough. But, then you have a look at the last two grand finalists. Leopold, back-to-back premier. South Barwon, back-to-back grand finalists. They both missed finals for the first time, and they play at 40 points. I just think the system that they used, I think, is a bit simplistic. It doesn't pass the pub test.
So how would you do it?
Look, I don't have.
I suppose because if you have an issue with something, you've probably got to have some way have an answer to it as well.
Yeah,
With respect to you,
of course.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people have got issues, but nobody's got answers. Yeah.
It's always about the solutions.
Yes, solution focused.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't mind Brownie's idea, and I don't think the so-called big clubs should be penalised for having good junior programs and good development and all that sort of stuff. So for me, I hear other clubs and there's no where they say we can't attract players. You can give us 50, 60, 70 points and we can't attract players. I think clubs that they say, look, we've been able to bring in 45 players in the last 2 years and we can't play them.
Yep.
So we just haven't got enough levers to jump the spike it quicker. And so I feel like you need more levers for us clubs that are sort of in the middle. Maybe we're on the right trajectory to be able to spike a little quicker. I look at the Brock McDonalds, the Hayden Elliotts, the Jacob Russells, the Bailey Brogdons, and these types have been at the footy club for a long time. Mm. They've been through the hard years and they've stuck fat. Mm. And they look at their mates at other clubs and they could easily walk into any GFL, BFL, GDFL club and play finals footy. And I want that opportunity for my boys as well. And if we can have the ability to pull some more levers to be able to, climb the ladder quicker, like you could back in the day, and I've been part of that, then that I think that the competition will be healthier. I think their sliding scale, instead of being year to year, probably should take into account at least a couple of seasons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just be so
a rotation,
not so reactive to going one bad year or one good year.
We'll give you Kate Patterson's number. You can have a chat to her.
It's beyond my pay grade.
Yeah. Good handle, like it. What's your average age at the club? Like, you're still pretty young, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, on the weekend we had 14 of our best 22 out, so not play.
Yeah.
And we had nine or ten. That hadn't played 10 games of senior footy yet.
Yeah.
So I think our average age sort of floats between sort of high 19 point something and 20 point something.
Yeah.
So not old, depends if Tom Cadullo's playing or not.
Yeah.
He pushes it out a bit.
Yeah.
We've got a few quick fire questions for you. You've been listening to the podcast recently?
Of course he has. I do listen to it, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Where should the GFNL grand final be?
I don't mind Queen's Park as a venue, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I'd play it.
Aside from your own ground, which venue is your favourite to go to?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably Colac. I like Colac.
Yeah, it's a good ground.
Yeah.
Good ground.
Which away rooms are the best?
Colac.
Which away rooms are the worst?
I don't think we should ask that question.
No, we're asking the question because everybody says Newtown anyway. Don't worry. Well, they know that, so it's okay.
I think Bell Park's in the frame.
Not far.
Yeah.
Not
we far don't, we just don't go inside the Bell Park room, so I don't know what it's like. You can't fit in there.
But you know what? But this is good. This is interesting, though, because people can go, oh, well, you're deriding Bell Park. Or Bell Park people can clip this audio and go to their local politicians and say, this is
actually a service we're using, community service here. For years, they've had to do their rooms up.
Yeah.
So they get on board, Eddie Contal and the rest of the councillors, please.
Whose jumper is the best in our three leagues?
Well, Bulldogs, man. So red, white and blue out at Queenscliff, I'd say. Mm. Yeah.
If you could recruit one rival player to your club, who would it be?
Yeah, midfielder, I reckon.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd probably got two, I reckon. One from the BFL, my old mate Logan Wagner would be pretty handy. Wouldn't mind slotting him in there somewhere.
Didn't Mark Neild mention him last
week? Oh, I think everybody's mentioned him, the piano tuner. Don't worry about that.
He's a star.
He's a star.
But I've long held the belief that someone like a Ned Harris or a Liam Nash at it, I think to provide their experience and the way they go about their footy, I think, I'd love to have both those two. Yeah.
Which of your players is your pet?
It's hard to go past the big fella. Yeah, probably Tom Higgins.
The big 51.
Yeah.
Wonder if you'll get a number more befitting of you. Although Fletcher Keck wears 58.
Yeah, Keck, you wouldn't be far behind.
Which of your players is the best trash talker?
I reckon we've got three of the best in the league, actually.
Name them, shame them.
I think
is Brock McDonald in there?
Brock McDonald's right up.
Well and truly.
Is he still wearing that silly bandana?
I got rid of that.
Thank God.
And his Eminem hair as well. They have to go.
The Slim Shady.
How's the fining going on here? There's going to be plenty of fines tomorrow night at Footy Trainer. Don't you worry about all these blokes getting named.
Brock, Higo, and I'll tell you, Ethan Guida goes well.
Oh, don't say that. You'll build his ego. He doesn't need any help with that. Well, my God.
He's probably more at me than the opposition.
He loves the chat. He loves it.
Which opponent is the best trash talker?
Well, I wore this hat just for him today, actually. Adam Garner at Colac likes to give me a bit of feedback about the hat. So,
really?
Looking forward to running into him again in a couple of weeks.
So we are filming this today. You've got your Chicago Bulls hat on. Love that.
Yeah.
Coffee order?
Yeah, strong cap.
Right. And Palmy or Palmer?
Oh, please.
You're not going to like this. I'm from Melbourne. We call it Palmers.
Fuck off, Rick. Anyway, it's been nice having you on the podcast, Rick. Anyway, it's been great.
Great to have you in. Great chat. Pleasure. Continue the great work you're doing in the off-field space. It's very important what you're doing there with, I suppose, men's mental health and the like and giving them the tools in many facets of life to deal with whatever challenges come their way. Good luck for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Appreciate you taking the time to join us on Beyond the Boundary.
Pleasure, gents. Thank you. Cheers.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Well, they say timing is everything in this industry, Jason.
Oh,
good Tom. Things can happen when you don't expect them to. We'd been trying to get this gentleman on for a couple of weeks and just didn't fall with timings, work commitments, etc.
Very busy man. Very busy.
Bit of after hours action with this gentleman today as he brings up his 100th game as coach of Drysdale.
Really? 100 games?
To go with plenty of games he played. He'll tell us how many he played.
I'm sure he will.
Ben Carmichael's been good enough to join us. Hello, Binger.
Kingy, Jace, great to be here. Thank you.
All right, 100 games as coach. How many did you play in the Brown and Gold at 2 o'clock?
I reckon it was about 180. Yeah.
And your super year at Queenscliff.
About 10 games, yeah.
So you didn't get to 200 Bellarine senior games?
Nah, I was just short. Yeah, about 180 I think I got to.
How many senior games at Leopold?
I think I was about 90.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you play about 280 senior games of footy?
Yeah.
That's a lot of footy.
Yeah, it probably just shows my age now, doesn't it?
There's a lot of footy, isn't it?
How's the body?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Pretty good, actually. Yeah. Like, I finished playing when I snapped a Liz Frank in my foot, and I probably wanted to keep playing, but that was probably, I was always one bad injury away from finishing playing footy, but I train every now and then and try and keep a little bit busy. So, pretty good.
So when it got to a point that you were so short that Simon and Mitch Scott, Daniel Gell and Andrew White had to line up in your twos a couple of weeks ago, were you contemplating it?
I would have loved to have a kick, but I guess when you're the coach and you're trying to tell a group of guys what they need to be doing and how they need to do things, if I couldn't go out there and perform and do the same things, they probably wouldn't listen to me anymore. So, it was good to see some of those 09 Premiership players out there, which was great.
And what a shock to see S. Scott kick a goal.
Kick the first.
He would have been up and about.
Beautiful rove off the pack, snap around the body. He was pretty happy with that.
And they all got their numbers?
Nah, I don't. Simon was wearing 4.
Mitch was in 36.
Yeah.
Whitey wore 12.
I don't know what Jolly wore. Jolly wore 0.
Did he?
The old
TAC jumper.
Yeah, which he actually wore in a game, I think, maybe five years ago.
He was captain.
Yes.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Is that legal to wear 0?
For the TAC rounds.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, yes, it is too. Yes,
They had the 0 jump for the captains.
Wow.
So he wore 0? That's great. How good is that?
Jolly was going in hard too.
Was he?
Yeah.
How old's Jolly now? Because obviously concussion ended his career. How's life treating him in that regard?
Yeah, I think he's probably stopped at the right time, and he's going well. I think it was probably his first year as coach in a practice match where he copped that last head knock and never played again, which was disappointing. But I think he's 36 now.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. So he's going to come back on the cards for Joe. Well, he played the 09 flag.
Yeah, and the year after 09 went into St Mary's.
Yep. I was only talking about the 09 Premiership team because a gentleman we're speaking to in the pre-game on Sunday, the footy director of Geelong West, played in the 09 Drysdale flag.
Did he?
Tony Costa.
Yes.
He was assistant coach to Wade Chapman, I think, in 09.
Yeah, he was an assistant coach. He was a good player, Cozzy.
Yeah.
He came off the bench. Back in those days, the bench was like set.
Yeah.
And they didn't get it like
there
big games.
Rotations.
Yeah, that's right. But I reckon he played his best game in the 09 grand final. But he could certainly play.
It's been a tough month at the club, but in the background, the club's been aware, but only public last Monday, that Josh Hopgood is in a very serious fight against an aggressive liver cancer. You will know more than obviously what's been made public, so we won't get you to delve too deep, but how's that impacted the group? Somebody that's so beloved among the playing group being so impacted by this horrible, horrible disease.
Yeah, if you speak to Josh, he's so positive, and not many people know this, but about 6 weeks ago before the diagnosis, Van Ed had done his ACL, and he obviously a couple of weeks after that found out that he was diagnosed with cancer on his liver. He was more worried about people thinking that he'd cracked the shits and not being at the club because he'd done his ACL. So his first thought was other people, and that's what Josh is just like. He's just about to go through his second bout of chemo starting on Friday. But, yeah, he's really positive. He's got great support around him, around the community, which is going to help immensely. Even something great on the weekend. We played Newcombe and they ran a raffle on the gate. It's just a meat raffle and some beers and stuff. And I think they nearly raised $4,000.
Wow, $3,410 just on the GoFundMe page right now.
Yeah, which is a credit to Newcombe and, you know, Matty Farah, Miz, and James Rickey and the team that they have at Newcombe. We have a lot of respect for Newcombe. It just shows what great community footy the Ballerine is. Yeah. So, Hoppy's really positive and, you know, we're right behind him and, hopefully we can see some improvement.
So $115,000 has been raised. I think the original target, it might have started at $20,000.
I think it was 30, wasn't it? 30. Yeah, 30 grand. Yeah, it was 54 before you knew it, before anybody said anything, I think.
696 donations have come through, $115,265 raised. We're recording on Wednesday evening. And $10,000 from Civ Elite, I think, who was sponsor the club.
That's where Hoppy was working at some stage.
Yeah, okay. They've pumped in $10,000, but donations ranging. You know, a lot of individuals putting in a lot of money, which tells you what Josh and the family mean to people. Yeah. And Drysdale is such a tight-knit community as well.
I think even more, like, you do flick through there and see some of the donations, how heartwarming it is to see a lot of the players from the Ballerine, whether they knew Josh or not, donating, which is just fantastic. And that's what, local footy is all about, just supporting each other in tough times. Yeah, we play footy against each other and we want to win, but when something really serious like this happens, it just shows you how important the community is.
It's just a game, isn't it, in the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a game.
Gee, your old man even reached into his pocket. That was good of him.
There would have been mum.
Big. The drive-by for the old man. I reckon you drove by him the last time you were in here too.
How is Put?
No, he's going well. I've just been in Thailand with my sister and her partner and my little nephew. So, yeah, they just got back last week.
Thanks for organising that in footy season, guys. Jeez, it tells you where you sit in the family.
Yeah, they've probably seen our results and thought, yeah, we might go away this year.
Yeah, but hang on a minute.
What's going on?
You're half a show.
Yeah, we are, yeah.
Every week we go, oh, they're gone, they're done. And then you keep winning games and you keep, like, you're just hanging in.
Yeah, and after the bye, we looked at it and thought, we've got 6 games left. Let's just try and win every one and see where we end up.
Yeah.
You don't look too far ahead. So the old cliche, we're just ticking them off week by week. But, as we get closer to the end, we have a look and, we are hanging in there and you just don't know what can happen.
Absolutely.
So, you love your footy. Have you done a mock ladder predictor? What do you need, other than you guys winning Port Arlington and Anglesey? What do you need to go right? You basically need Newcombe to lose out.
They can afford to win one. Okay. So we need Bowen Heads to beat Newcombe and Torquay to beat Newcombe.
Yep. Torquay to beat Anglesey this week.
Yeah, and then probably if we win two, it'll probably come down to the last round where we're sitting a game in. And because they're poor percentage, we'd probably need Motowari to beat Anglesey. Mm.
Is there a level of frustration that you just haven't had access to your best lineup all year that... But you know that when it's on the park, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's... Like, there is frustration with injuries and it's a part of the game. I'm just really proud of the group, to be honest. From where we were, where you probably start to think we probably just don't want to finish on 3 wins or 4 wins on like that. For us, just to rally and take the season as long as we can, which is good. But we're starting to get a little bit of continuity within our list on the park. Those guys that we played at the start of the year are showing real improvement now, just with some of the better players around them that have come back in. So, yeah, it's been, although, like you said, it's been a frustrating year in the terms of, the way we started and the way the season was going, but to still be alive is exciting.
Going back in history, the Drysdale-Port rivalry has been a great rivalry, but in terms of it being competitive, for the most part, over the last 30 years, it hasn't been. Drysdale have dominated that rivalry, say, for a couple of Anzac days, I think under Matty Sproul. There was a couple of wins there. You can't claim any... you can't be responsible for those. I think you're at Leopold.
I was actually... The last time Port Arlington beat us twice in a season, I was captain.
Oh, right. What year was that?
I think it might have been 2014.
No, right.
13 or... No, it wasn't 13. It might have been 2014 or 15.
Okay. But in terms of what's on the line, this might be the biggest game since Port and Drysdale in the 92 grand final. That's how big a game this is. And, you know, it's a intense rivalry, be the best way to describe it. Is that a fair way? Especially now that they're back up and about a little bit.
Yeah, the rivalry goes back a long way. Obviously, two towns that are pretty close to each other. I think back in the day, it was really, really fierce. And like you said, probably over the last few years, they've been building. And this year, you know, they're starting to improve and they've really added some experience into their list. A lot of the guys that they brought in have, you know, played good footy. So they've got a really experienced list. And at the start of the season, it probably wasn't working as such for them. But you can see with a new group and a new system and a new coach, they're starting to play some really good footy. So, yeah, we have to be our best on Saturday to get a result.
So you've played and coached a lot of good players, fantastic players in your career. Just tell me where Oliver Castro sits in terms of a player who has got something. Every time I look on Instagram, he is taking a mark or taking the piss, kicking a goal around the corner. Like, he's just, like, and he's 16, isn't he? Is he 16?
Yeah, just turned
17. Like,
yeah,
in terms of, like, at his age, he's a bit freakish, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a serious talent, and you can understand why he was in the under-16s, yeah. Vic Metro last year. He's got plenty to work on his game, which is exciting, but he's, you know, he's powerful. He can run and jump. He can kick unbelievable goals. So in terms of, you know, a young kid like that coming and having a real impact in senior footy, yeah, he's probably as good as we've had in the Ballerine.
Yeah, that's what I feel. Like, he's like this one outstanding player is, wow.
Yeah.
Like, he's, what's the relation? How does it work with the Western Jets and Drysdale? What's that?
So he was looking for just to change clubs, and we got in contact with him, and he was playing Western Region footy.
Yep.
And he was just looking for something different. Yeah, so we reached out and I explained what the Ballerine football is like and the exposure that he could have down in our competition, obviously with the Cats really close and the stand of the footy it was, and obviously how good the Ballerine is getting. And yeah, no one could talk him out of it. There's some other boys that play for the Western Jets at Geelong West as well, I think. So
yeah, right.
They do have guys outside the region. Yeah. And yeah. I certainly think, because he's bottom age, I think that, you know, having a good senior year at Ballerine will help his draft chances next year.
Absolutely.
Does he play this week? And go back to the Jets?
Well, we're not sure yet. Well, last Thursday, we didn't think that he was available. He's had a couple of little niggles, so they wanted him to get a little bit of continuity within his footy before he goes back and plays with them. They had a pretty big win last week against the Falcons down at Colac.
They're going well.
So we'll find out later in the week if he's available for us.
Okay. One coming into the system, the one that's gone out the back of the system you've had a couple of times this year is Jaden Hunt. Will you get him again? Because you talked about that if you were to play finals that he'd potentially become available. Is his golfing odyssey come to an end?
Nah, he's still playing golf at the moment. So he's extended his trip and...
Yeah, right. We don't need to say anymore.
Yeah.
Jaden Badley. Seriously, he's taking the piss too.
Yeah, correct.
That's ridiculous. Do you know where he actually is at the moment, Bing?
He's in Scotland. Of course he is. I think he's playing the old course.
Seriously. But is he a chance when he comes back to play next year?
We haven't really looked that far, but if he comes back, potentially he could play, but yeah, we'll just let him enjoy his trip.
So he won't be back this year?
Not sure yet. Okay. He's just sort of seeing how he goes with his trip and where it takes him. And
fine line though, because if you've got blokes that get you to next week against Anglesey, winning and get you into an elimination final who have done the job... He hasn't played since the Torquay game at the end of May.
Yeah.
You'd have a decision make about a bloke who's been gone for 3 months playing golf.
Yeah. So, like, we're not overly stressed about it. Like, we think at the moment that we've created a bit of momentum with the side we've got at the moment. Mm. So, it's looking unlikely he'll play, but, we're a long way from that.
Of course, you're a Leopold Premiership player in 2016 in the very unflattering number of 40. But that's what happens when you rock up in February and that's what you get given. Graeme Williams turns to you and says, this is all I got left, son.
Yep.
You're going to wear this. They named their team of the quarter century and teams of the decade for 2000 to 2009 and 2010 to 19. Don't see Ben Carmichael anywhere in the 2010 to 19 side.
Well, there's not too many guys you could push out of those decade teams. I had a look at them and Yeah, unbelievably strong team. So many, you know, premiership players and in the league representatives. The sides that they named were, you know, fantastic.
Surely Moose takes bribes though, doesn't he? Does he take cash, Moose?
Well, he picked himself. Oh, so,
I saw that. How can you pick yourself, Moose? Come on, Arthur.
But, you know, at least he didn't pick himself on the bench because that looks really obvious. If you pick yourself on the ground, that means somebody else is.
Did he pick himself next to Grundle?
He did.
Of course he did.
Yeah. I think people sometimes actually forget how good a footballer Matt was. I think he had 3 years in there where he's kicking, you know, 40-plus goals in the GFL. And Leopold, like, we weren't going that great.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moose was a really good footballer. Yeah,
he's a better cricketer. Don't worry about that. Gerberly Park, he'll love that too, that I've brought that into. Gerberly Park. He made 100 at Gerberly Park one day. Ringwood.
Never wore a helmet. Just he wanted him to bounce him and he'd put him over the fence.
Because there's no brains in there, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, wow. Team of the 25 years, so it was co-coaches, Steve Clark and Gary Hocking.
Yeah, that was a cop-out too. Come on, Moose.
Which way would you have gone?
I would have gone with Buddha. He's won two.
I might have gone the other way.
I know you would have, but I would have gone with Buddha.
Yeah, I might have gone the other way. Mm-hmm. Only for longevity.
Yeah, fair enough.
Two grand finals, a flag. Longest serving of the club.
Anyway.
Yep. Buddha will be listening.
That's why they did it. Well, yeah. I backed you, Buddha, so there you go. Yeah. You'll be good next year.
Jai Thompson was the captain. The back line, Lee Purton.
Jai Thompson.
Yeah, what a shock.
Who would have thought?
Well, they could have argued. Well, okay. We could have argued Marcus because he captained
two
flags.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. Yes. That's right.
So.
That's a good point.
Is Jai coming back to Leopold?
No.
No. Is he going somewhere else?
I have no idea.
Oh, maybe. Anyway, let's stick fat with Beyond the Boundary on that one.
All right. Lee Purton, Jeremy Larkin, Bradley Grills. Halfback line, Harris Jennings, Lee Collins, Tom Ruggles.
Lee Collins was a seriously good player, star, wasn't he? Yeah, he was a gun.
Rick Wild in the ruck. Now, who Rick Wild beat out for the ruck spot is he's on the bench. I'll tell you in a moment. Jai Thompson, Marcus Thompson, Tony Brown. That may be one of the best quartets ever assembled that never played together.
He was the best I ever played with, Tony Brown.
Yeah.
He was a gun, wasn't he?
Serious player.
He was a gun.
And he actually, he's the least capped player in the team.
Yeah.
Only 31 games.
Yeah.
In that 25 years, throwing, I think, something back in the 90s when he was at the Falcons. Cam Wright and Jai Walker on the wings. Forwards, the piano tuner.
Oh, the tuner.
Connor Giddings and Daniel Sullivan. Mitch Patton, Jace Tom, and Brandon Howarth at the bench. Rick Wild tipped out Trent West.
Yeah, it's a fair effort.
Sam Scott, Simon Close, Andrew Pepper, and Matt Miller. And everybody was in the room.
Were they really?
Yep.
The condiment. Hey, he got on there, the condiment.
I'm just having a quick look. Every member of the team was...
No, it's a fair team.
Other than Buddha. Tom Ruggles was.
Ruggles is in Queensland.
He's done an ACL.
Partially tear, but he's going to try and play...
Grind minds like. Here we go. Everybody's trying to do it these days, aren't they?
So, Calandra going quite well. And, yeah, he's going to try and come back and play finals.
Wow. He kicked 9 earlier in the game, didn't he?
I think it said 9. He told me 10.
talking about, and we touched on it a little bit earlier, but Logan Wagner's been listed as having, I think it was 37 disposals on the weekend for Newcombe in your win. Do you think he's been robbed of some?
So the vision was cut out, so they missed, I think, 10 minutes of the third, and they've missed the last 5 minutes of the vision.
How do they miss that?
On the Premier Data, when you watch it, it just says vision unavailable.
Right.
So they've missed a fair few of the stats. So you probably would have had 50.
Yep. Wow. Does he win the Ash?
I'd think so, yeah. Yeah, certainly. With his consistency, Nuke have won enough games. Mm. You know, in my mind, I think he's been a clear standout for our
competition. I watched him 2 weeks ago against Amos. Amos won. He was clearly the best player on the ground. They were 28 points down, and he brought him back from nowhere, pretty much. So he'll be getting 3 votes in games they don't win either.
I think if he wins, he'll be the first since Ricky O'Toole, off the top of my head, to win a Ash from Newcombe, which would be a fair...
It's going to take a fair effort from somebody to beat him.
Yeah.
That's what it is going to do.
So we're into the last 3 rounds. Buying round 20, what do you do on that? If you're still alive, are you going to wherever Anglesey are or wherever Newcombe are?
Yeah, I'll probably go for a look. I love footy, so it would just be one of those weird situations where, yeah, you're just a bit of a sitting duck. Our percentage is, you know, is probably not as good as the other two, or, you know, even Port Arlington, that they're probably in a similar situation as us. But, yeah, if it comes down to the last game, yeah, we just wait and we see and train as usual and try and prepare. But, yeah, we're a little way off that, but it's exciting.
Just get over Port Arlington this week.
That's correct.
Because I suppose that's the first box. If you beat Port Arlington, you see them off.
Yeah.
They're done. That'll be basically impossible for them. And then you've got to go and beat Anglesey. You don't necessarily see them off. It's going to be an intriguing final 3 weeks.
Mm.
We wish you luck with that.
Yes.
Now, do you listen? You occasionally listen to the podcast?
I listen.
You listen, cool. So you know about the quick fire questions at the end?
I do.
All right. Where should the Bellarine Grand Final be?
It should be at Drysdale, but I've had a little, I'll explain a little bit what I'm thinking. So location, Newcombe, tick. Ground, Queen's Park. Conditions and feel has to be Drysdale.
Yep.
And maybe Queenscliff Grandstand.
You've put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah, so sorry for the clubs that missed out, but
it's okay.
We put all that together.
That's a fair summation.
But once Drysdale's multi-million-dollar, hopefully, upgrade is done, I think it'll just be the permanent home, won't it?
It'll be like the Taj Mahal.
Get the netball done, get the footy done.
I'm certainly biased with where it should be, but conditions, it's a ground that's very rarely wind-affected, and we know how much finals can be wind-affected. The viewing area, just the whole feel of the place is great.
Aside from your own ground, which was your favourite to play on? Well, I suppose aside from Memorial Park and Mortimer Oval.
Queen's Park.
Which away rooms are the best?
Ocean Grove.
Which away rooms are the worst?
They were Bowen Heads, but the closet that the Suns put us in the other week, they get that tick. I think it was change room 14 or something we got shoved into.
You're around the back.
Oh, yeah.
It's all right. Jay Williams will be happy with this because this will help push them for their want for better.
Well, surely they get some netball facilities, don't they? What's going on down there? Yeah, seriously.
Sadler's working a backside.
Come on.
Whose jumper is the best in our three leagues?
Colac.
Oh, yes.
The black one or the gold one?
I like both.
Okay. If you could recruit one rival player to your club, who would it be?
Sam Lloyd.
Which player is your pet?
Probably Jake Hargraves. Mm.
Who were the coach's pets during your playing career, either at Leopold or Drysdale?
Coach's pets? Marcus Thompson. Right, but that's a given.
Yeah, that's self-explanatory, yes.
Reece Holwell.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
That's explanatory too.
Really?
Oh, he just did everything right. He was a hard worker.
He would be, yeah.
Real team man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which of your players is the best trash talker?
Probably Hargy.
Yep. Does Bailey Sykes go around the lip as well?
Can't get it out fluent enough. They wouldn't understand what he's saying.
That's gold. That's the clip from the coach. We love it.
Did you have a teammate you played with at Drysy or Leopold that was good on the app?
Well, I played with Andrew Pepper.
Smart.
The condiment. We love it. He loves it too.
Which opponent is the best trash talker or was the best trash talker? Did you play against somebody who was very good?
I think back in the day when we played Amos, Mitch Day, he would just count his goals and just lip off.
Yeah,
and he kicked a heap of them against us.
Coffee order?
Strong soy latte.
Strong soy latte.
Oh, Ben, please. What's happening here? Hang on a minute. Are we getting a bit older? We need to have soy milk now? We don't have full cream?
No, I like the taste of soy.
Oh, wow.
Said nobody ever.
said Binger.
And Palmy or Palmer?
Oh, please.
Palmy.
Oh, yes. Please. Very good. Come on.
Binger, great run you're on. May well it continue for your sake. Tip over Port and you really keep yourself alive, and tip over Anglesey, and then round 20 becomes a bit of a watch and act.
Mm-hmm. Watch and act.
It's going to be a fun round 20. Appreciate your time as always. Always very open with your time with the media, and appreciate you coming to join us on Beyond the Boundary.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Great to have this fella on the Beyond the Boundary podcast. Thanks to Kerr's Hire. It's fair to say, Jace, that when his name's been mentioned, I've been going, Is he a smoky for the Whitley medal, even though he's in a team that will only win potentially a handful of games?
Dom, you've been going cocoa bananas, you have been.
He's shaking his head. I can see in my peripheral vision in the Dave Collins studio.
You're a moron because they've won, I don't know, what, two or three games?
Four
games. Oh, well, he's got 12
votes. There's 12 votes.
Oh, please.
He's going to need 20 to win, so he's going to find... he would have got...
He's kicked 54 goals.
He's only missed, very kind, gentlemen.
He's only missed kicking a goal once this year in a game. That's a fair effort.
It's the voice of Geordie Cam.
Hi, Geordie.
Welcome, Geordie.
G'day, gents. It's good to be here, actually. It's really nice.
54 goals. What a season.
It's been good. It's not winning, but it's pretty good, yeah.
9 against Corio.
Yeah, that was a good game.
7 last week, although Jed Hennessy, as we touched on a bit earlier, kicked 7 and had...
57 dozzies.
57 disposals. Now, we did touch on it in our little news wrap a bit earlier, these disposals. We always go through the big numbers. It's 57 disposals, 22 contested, 11 marks, 7 goals. Have you seen a more comprehensive individual performance?
No way. That was just... But being a part of it too, like some of the people saying, oh, we reckon he's had 40 at halftime. And we're like, what are we watching here? It was genuinely one of the all-time great, like, local footy games.
I haven't seen a lot of Jed play. Has he got a ridiculous tank?
It's just craft. He's just such a knowledgeable, skillful player. Just gets in the right spots every time and does have a good tank. Work rate is enormous, which is like helped him. He was on a wing in finals in 24, and then we've kind of slowly he's become our starting best midfielder just through work rate and he put on a bit of weight and size over the off-season as well.
You knew it was going to be a tough year coming in. Has it played out as tough as you thought, or do you think it's gone a bit better than it was going to go?
I think we're probably exactly where we thought we'd be, but the glimpses have been... We've been calling them green shoots. You can see the pathways of some of the younger players we've got really taken shape. Like we've gotten a lot closer in a lot of the games than I probably thought as well. Like Winchelsea, who were rivaling top of the ladder, we were neck and neck with them. Werribee, when we played them the other week, we had a shot at three quarter time to take the lead going into the last quarter. I thought, how good's this? And luckily for us, Werribee weren't kicking very straight that day. But we've been really close, and I think we've been a lot more competitive and definitely showed improvement from the start of the year to now.
Yep. Who are some of the kids? Like, we won't know some of these names. The one that sticks out to me, and I hear he's been going okay, came in from Torquay, is Roy Dixon.
Roy Dixon, are you part of the Interleague squad team? He would have been, yep. And a few others too. Like, I was very rapt to get Zach O'Toole, a Leopold product. He's come across as a one-pointer too, like Thompson Jr.
Yep.
Jasper Blair, Queenscliff, he has been accumulating some votes too. He's a very good player, very good player. Young fellas as well, but it's just like Jed, obviously, huge. And then I'm trying to think. They're going to hate me if I don't name him. But the addition of a young Griff Wilson from Torquay as well, friends with Dicko.
Yep.
There's a lot of young talent out there that started a lot of green shoots, as we've been saying.
Young bloke called Chris Scott.
Lynchy said the other day, he said some of these guys have only got, you know, 2 more years till they really start finding their senior footing. And Chris came up to me and he goes, 2 more years? That's just 2 more years and I'll really be able to find it. I go, you'll be 43 by then.
How old is Scotty?
I think he's 39.
So he's the older of, obviously, the brothers.
Yeah.
So there's Chris, obviously Chris, Sam and Tom.
Yeah.
Actually, saw Tom was at Port Arlington a couple of weeks ago watching. He hasn't played footy.
Yeah, right.
He's barely played since the 22 GFL Grand Final.
Yeah.
Sam, obviously, but yeah. Sam's having a great year down.
Wearing Port. Sam's number in 22, by the way.
Oh,
really?
Wearing number 8, yeah.
Yeah, right.
The year he went up north.
Up bush. What was I going to say? You've thrown me now, King, talking about the Scots.
Apologies.
I was going to say about Sam Jack is not far away from him either, is he, in terms of how old Sam these days?
Nah, Sam's only 34, isn't he?
Nah, Scotty's in a league of his own in age. Sam, I think Sam's 34.
Yeah.
I don't want to be too rude. I think he might be 32, 33.
And not far from 300 games, so I think he's going on next year, isn't he?
Wow.
Give us something.
I know. I think he wants the 300.
Paul Davis is up there with Chris Scott.
Oh, yes.
You're actually right. Yeah,
yes, he is.
Right. Poss won't be far from having a 4 in front of his age.
For a bloke at his age, he is in unbelievable nick.
He is.
Unbelievable nick.
What about Dylan Jost playing with a ruptured ACL?
Oh, that was great. That was great.
You're about just to play with Devin Smith?
He had it on the calendar to come back and play later in the year. I think West was a good game for him to be able to, like, be able to come in and try it, and whether he failed up to it or not was another call. But he got through it and like got on the end of four.
Kick four, yeah.
Kick four. Like, what a great game to come back with no ACL in your knee still. So, yeah, we were all tremendously wrapped.
Is he training? What's he doing? Is he just playing?
Yeah, yeah. So he's been doing a lot of like rehabilitation through it. And like he goes through weeks where it flames up. And
it's the dumb thing now, isn't it? Grind Myers has changed the whole world about ACLs, hasn't he? In terms of whether if you can stand on it, you can play.
Yeah, well, Dylan was like been through the surgery process enough times where he was like, I've been there, done that, and I'm not going through that again.
So you've got 54 goals. You've had five added to your total from was it the Central's game?
Yes, Werribee Central's game.
So your brother Josh was playing that afternoon. How many games did Josh play this year in the Lions?
Maybe eight or nine. Yeah. He went away on a few holidays throughout the year and stuff. And then
how does he do that as a teacher?
When school holidays.
So he just disappears for school holidays, does he?
Yeah, I think he's been away a few times, went away to Bali over school holidays and stuff like that. Yeah. Tough.
So he got credited with the five goals you kicked against Centrals, but you've got them back. You've now got 54 for the year. You sit third, only behind Mason Dixon, Cam Primer. Was there, look, Lynchy said he'd love to have two of you, one to play in the middle and one to go forward, but how are you splitting your time? Are you spending a bit of time in the ruck and then going forward? How's it working?
We've had games where I'll just take some of the centre bounces, not to give away game plan secrets or anything, but I've been doing, for the last probably 10 weeks, I've just been sitting for kind of full forward and just giving chop outs. I've been very blessed to have the coming of age of Caleb Eden in our ruck. I think he's got potential to be one of the best players in the competition we're in at the moment, and he just probably needs a bit more continuity in his game and like getting to training and all that stuff and putting in the hard work. And I've been fortunate enough to be able to rest forward and stay forward because he's been playing so well.
The captaincy's been good for you as well. Some players take on the captaincy and it doesn't suit them and it impacts how they play and they get worried about the other 21 blokes. But for you, did you seek any advice from anybody about how to go about it?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I was, it got asked of me late last year and I was in such a fortunate position where I had such good leaders around me. Like I've played under Sammy Jacka. Yeah. I credit to him. He's one of the best speakers in like Geelong.
Yep.
And then good people around me, like Lynchy as the coach, and then Trav Maguire of previous years was captain.
Goose.
Yeah. And then
Goose is a brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And then Dil Jost, obviously he was captain at Lara as well. So I've just had good people around me. So it does make, when you become captain, like you do find yourself realizing there is so much more than just your own personal game. And like you sometimes get caught up trying to figure out everyone else's or direct other people where you're just going to go, oh, hang on, I'm here to play football at the end of the day. I need to play.
I think you're only two games away. I think last round your 100th senior game at Thompson too.
Oh, actually, I have no idea.
I've just done a quick count, 98 senior games.
Oh, that's cool.
So 100 is a nice milestone. How old are you now, 27?
Yeah, 27. Yeah, I played my 100th last year, club game, so I knew 150 would probably be next year.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah.
Talk to us about, obviously, the offers from elsewhere. Everybody's probably circling Thompson's better players, going, oh, gee, things aren't going great. People wonder where Lynchy's going to be in 2027 as well. Is he going to pull stumps? But is there a lure to go and have a crack at a high level again, or is Thompson home for you?
Absolutely, there's a lure, and the lure is just to like you can play GD forever, and you can have a great career, or you can some people have told me that you want to play good football, you got to go play GFL, and I've had messages like even today, like to go, like mate, what are you doing? Go try out. But I do love Thompson, that's why I stay, and I love the people and the club, and it's 10 minutes down the road from where I live, so you can get big money offers from faraway clubs, and then you find yourself going, who the hell wants to drive 4 hours to go play for essentially just money? You earn money doing anything. So
you're a one-pointer at Leopold?
I would be, yeah.
Haven't heard from them?
No, Sam Hughes was a teacher of mine at high school.
Yep.
So we
former teacher Sam Hughes.
Former teacher. Yeah.
Now firefighter.
Yeah.
And maybe he's a co-coach next year. You might be coached by two if you go back to the Lions. But anyway, that's another story. So 27, yeah, he's still got a few years left to have a crack and see what it looks like. And
yeah, it's a challenge, though.
What's Lynchy doing? Is he staying, going? You don't know? What's happening there?
I'd love to be able to answer that for
you. Yes, wouldn't we all? We don't know what Lynchy...
He annoys me. No, he doesn't know. I love him to death. You say it about every coach you got, but his experience is...
He's a legend.
I hope he goes BFL and wins a flag in all three Geelong competitions. That'd be crazy good.
That would be a...
He'd be the first coach.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
He's done obviously two leagues and been numerous to do that.
Yeah.
We'll find that out. We think you'll poll well in
Thank
the Whitley.
You. Thank you.
You'll be team of the year.
Tom especially.
How are you going the athlete's foot MVP? You're going to write that, aren't
you?
Yeah,
I think I'm winning that. Yeah.
Hey, what do you get for winning that?
A pair of shoes.
A great question. I hope so. And their new pair of runners, actually, yeah.
Surely there's a bit of cash involved.
No, you don't say. A little bit of Kango.
Hopefully Bordevalis has set something up before he's left.
In the contract, are you on a goal bonus? Did you whack that in? Is Chris Scott still the treasurer there?
He's still got a lot to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, you wouldn't be able to get in anyway, Scotty. Yeah. Counting. Just, nah, you be
unless you catch him on a weekend, he's a bit more...
He's a bit looser on a weekend. Yeah. Off the field, Plummer? Is that right?
Yeah, Plummer. Yeah, right. I just... Went qualified actually. Just a business, East Coast Plumbing. Me and my boss. He will love the shout out.
Yeah, it's nice. Podcast. Yeah, it's good.
East Coast Plumbing for all your plumbing and renovation needs.
So 27 just qualified. So something else before you went into plumbing?
I did a lot. I didn't know what I wanted to do myself. I was studied nursing. I was trying for the police academy. I worked as a bartender and did heaps of stuff.
Yeah, right.
And then fell into plumbing. Met my current boss, and I was like. He just said to me, do you want to come on board? I'm looking for someone. And my first reaction was, hell no, I don't want to play with poo all day. That sounds shocking. And then 5 years later, here we are, and I love it. It's the best choice I ever made. Yeah,
that's good.
It's not just that obvious. It's a bit more than
playing with poo. Yeah, a lot more. Yeah,
playing with poo. So you're perfect at home then if you need to sort of just a couple of adjustments, you know
exactly
what you're doing.
Exactly right. Me and my brother are looking at doing our kitchen at the end of the year, and I'm thinking to myself about all the plumbing that goes into
Absolutely.
It, how much we'll save.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you hang shit on your brother who teaches?
Oh, literally.
All day, yeah.
Hey, well done. Boom, boom. Yeah, nice.
All day. As we know, Kingy, he's a PE teacher, yeah. And he'll be the first to tell you he's probably the laziest teacher in all of Victoria, honestly.
He'll love this.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I don't care about bag-mouthing him either.
What school's he at?
Leopold Primary. The thing I will give him credit is he is a great teacher.
He's got my daughter.
He's a great teacher. Right. And there's not wherever we're out in public and kids are walking around and they love him to death. They love him to death. They think he's
My daughter rates him highly.
Yeah, right.
So there's Chris Williams, the cricketer.
Yes, the great Chris Williams. Yes, Leggy.
Is he coaching Newtown again
in Division 2? He'd love me saying that. Will would love me saying
whack.
That. Whack. There you go.
And then
hello, Dev Royce.
And Josh Camp.
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah.
I don't know who else is in their PE setup. There might be somebody else, but I don't know.
Those two. I think those two, they take half the school each, I think.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of kids at Leopold these days.
That's ridiculous.
Big school.
I've never heard of anybody falling into plumbing.
It's more so just like the relationship between me. I met my boss as a friend before I became work-related to him.
That's good.
Yeah. So East Coast Plumbing.
Yep.
All right. Yep. How far and wide do you travel? Is it just
across the East Coast?
Yeah, literally. We go everywhere. The furthest we've been is probably Apollo Bay, and then furthest we've gone the other way is anywhere in Melbourne. But we like to stick to Geelong base. You like to stick to local stuff. But we're in Teesdale at the moment, actually, so you're doing a good project out there.
Okay.
Nice. Hard to find a good one, I tell you. Hard to find them.
Hard to find one that rings you back.
Yeah.
Reliable ones, yeah.
Yeah, reliable. Yes. East Coast Plumbing, there you go.
Well played.
Well played.
Like it. Now, have you listened to the podcast before?
Bits and pieces. I was listening to it when you after you called me just to
see what we
I see. You guest. We got. And I'm a very humbled guest. You've had some better names than I on
well,
the podcast.
You're
sitting third in the goal kicking in the GD, and you're probably going to poll very well in the Whitley.
You struck the right chord with his host. So he loves you, Geordie. He loves what you do.
It,
so it's good. It's good stuff. We love it.
Do you still get sneaked down to Leopold Sporties for a couple of quiet ones?
Always. I see you there as well. Don't worry about that.
Number one ticket holder there too. No, seriously, I tell you, the mayor of Leopold. That's the mayor of Leopold.
I vote for him as well.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Look, this is a love-in. This is a Leopold love-in.
Do you know what you need to bring into the podcast?
What?
You need to bring the reptile questions in.
Oh, do I? For these guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
for the GD ones, yeah. Because we don't get to ask.
Oh, that's true too. Yeah. Okay.
Who else in the GD have you had on this?
We have. No, every week we have a GD. Somebody on. Yeah. Every week, but not sometimes not as outgoing as you are, Geordie. Like, some are a bit more reserved. Oh. Are you swinging hands? Do you have a partner?
Am I swinging hands?
It's another partner.
No, swinging hands.
Swinging hands? Yeah. You have a partner?
It sounds like throwing hands.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, what?
Swinging hands.
You
have a partner?
Yeah, I do. Alyssa, she's beautiful. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, good on you. Good work. That's good.
Right. So you take her to Leopold Sporties.
If you're our Leopold Sporties player of the day. Actually, PK loves this.
No, but do you know who the... this is all my worlds colliding.
Oi.
Do you know what the player of the day gets in the GDFNL on the polls? So Charles Hotham voucher.
Of course they do.
And you've won one.
Of course they do.
I always play
on radio Chris, day. And Chris Moore thinks he actually thinks you're a good bloke.
Well, yeah,
and Chris Moore doesn't
enough.
Think too many people are good blokes.
No, I get along really well with Moore, yeah.
And so you're the number one ticket holder at the Leopold Sporties and the number one ticket holder at Sir Charles Hotham King. You're doing nicely. Look right. at that. So if you won the Leopold Sporties Player of the Day, who a good bloke from the club that you would take to the Leopold Sporties for a feed, who would it be? From your club,
top bloke,
who would you take?
Me and Zach get along really well. Zach O'Toole.
Zach O'Toole, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We were actually in the same trade school class together, so I felt very fortunate to get across to Thompson.
That's
and
good.
We're good friends. I think he'd feel very blessed. Good feet,
that's it.
There. As a matter of fact, I have taken him to the Sporties
before.
Well,
there you go. So that's even better. Now, reptile pest that you'd never take. There must be a reptile at the club, or you'd go, no, I'm never taking him to the Leopold Sporties. Tip somebody in. Come on.
Oof.
Come on. There's plenty of them, but just tip one in. Yeah, that's
plenty of them.
Just tip one in, and not your brother.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, and not your brother. Tip one in.
Who would I not take? Who can I throw under the bus? I think Jasper.
Jasper Blair?
Yeah.
Jasper Blair.
Why
are we not taking him? There must be reasons behind that.
Oh, I got lots of reasons.
Yeah, well, come on. Well, ones that you can actually talk about on a podcast.
Ones that I don't need to cut out in the editing process.
No, why are you not taking Jasper?
Oh, let's just say his chat's not great. With the opposite sex.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Funny and embarrassing.
He's... this is going to be Thursday night training at
Thompson
tomorrow
night. I'm going to get thrown under it, but I don't
his
care.
His chats with the ladies are not good. He's got no game. Is that what you're saying? But he has no game.
I'm reading into this that Geordie's had some offer that he's actually going to take elsewhere next year, and on the way out, he's
just going to whack.
He's like the Joker walking away.
See, it's
everything's blowing up in the background, and the Joker's just out of there.
No one will want to play it.
Jasper, that's
year,
great.
I take it all back. Jasper, I love you, Jasper.
No, too late now. Yeah. Throw him under the bus. We love it.
Have you heard our quick fire questions at the end?
Go for it. No.
Where should your league's grand final be?
St. Albans.
Yes.
Aside from your own ground, which venue is your favourite to play on?
To play on? I always play well on Inverleys ground.
Mm.
Which away rooms are the best?
Cryos were not bad the other day. Mm. They're nicely renovated rooms, yep. Cryo.
Which away rooms are the worst?
Oh, I'd have to think about that. Give me a second.
Not too long.
Yeah, we'll go with them. They are. They're not great.
I just tip people in with
them. When I used to play in the Colacton District comp, Birragurra had the worst away rooms in Australia.
Yeah, they're no good. Whose jumper is the best in our three leagues?
Oh, I like the purple and gold, but a lot of people would say it's bottom. But I'd say I like Cooters. I like the Cooters jumper.
That's the second one today.
Second one today.
Rick Munn.
Lots of people like the Cooters.
If you could recruit one rival player to your club, who would it be?
From any comp?
GDFNL.
Oh, in the GD. What do we need? We need a key back. So, Benny O'Brien from North Geelong.
Oh, yeah.
Which teammate is the coach's pet?
Oh, Jed gets away with a lot.
He
does a lot, so he deserves it. But he's very well-loved in this community of Thompson.
Which teammate is the best trash talker?
The best? Scotty. Easily.
Easy.
Oh, he's just a chatterbox.
Really?
He'll piss some people off all day.
Yeah, right.
Which opponent is the best trash talker?
Best opponent?
In terms of trade, you're just really good on the lip.
Oh, I don't often get chirped too much. I try to be polite. I really am. Yeah. I often get baked by my own teammates for being too nice.
I get that sense.
That's No, I can't give you an answer. No one really. I find myself talking to my opponent too often. They never say bad things to me.
What's your coffee order?
Oh, just a hot chocolate.
Nice.
No, I don't drink coffee.
Good on you. Yes.
Welcome to the club.
Welcome to the club.
Palmy or Palmer?
Please.
Palmy.
Palmy.
Thank you.
Palmy
you're
night.
Both, you're both Palmy.
Yeah. Please. Steak. People are coming here to stay Palmer. Please.
Yeah, I think.
This is where we find out where people are from Geelong or outside of town.
And we don't really like people from outside.
So. Yeah. No. It's a bias, but it's a granted bias. You can't be running around saying Palmer.
That's exactly
right. It's spelled
right.
with an I, guys.
Correct. Jesus. That's exactly right. There you go. I love it.
The argument back is it's from the Palmer region.
No, I don't care.
Obviously.
It's a Palmy.
Yeah, because it's a Palmy story.
We are exactly 3 weeks away from the Neville Whitley medal.
Oh, yes.
I'm is that when it is, actually? I didn't
Wednesday,
know
August 26th.
Yes. Awesome.
Looking forward to attending on behalf of K-Rock.
You better get up. There's so much pressure now, Geordie.
Yeah,
so much pressure.
If you hear little woo-hoos every time you poll.
Yeah, it'll be me.
Great.
Woo! and then the MVP night, that'll be good. It'll be interesting to see if... I think the other two contenders were Josh Mawson and... Brad Garrard from Anarchy. Unfortunately, they'll steal votes off each other. But
yes, you're a chance.
Yeah, big chance. Be awesome.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations on a wonderful season. Really appreciate you taking the time to come in and join us, and look forward to seeing how the last couple of rounds roll out for Thompson and see where you land in season 2027.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire. Quality equipment for hire and sales.
They were three up and about guests, weren't they?
Oh.
Geordie Cam.
How good are we going? Yeah. Like, and great that they're coming. Yeah, great. Yeah, just pat ourselves on the back. And they're coming into the studio too, which is even better. Like, it's much better with them in the studio. And we can have a real conversation. Yeah, Geordie, three votes. Mm. Yeah, very good. And Binger, as always. Yeah. And Rick Munn, as always.
Yes. Good to talk. Good. Good to talk with them all.
Absolutely.
Where are we going to go? GD Fennell down to their penultimate round of the season. There's a lot going on in the GD. Like, that ladder is...
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Far from set.
Absolutely.
I think Winch finish on top, even though they are second at the moment.
I think they do too.
Because they've got two that they really...
Yes.
Four to the floor.
Yes.
They should really be doing a number on both West and Cryo.
Absolutely.
Over the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
And then the rest will sort themselves out. So
yes.
It's where it's round 17, Winch have got Cryo at Cryo. So Winch will win that. Bannockburn and Inverleigh, they're not going quietly into that good night of Bannockburn.
No, he's made a point, hasn't he, Ronnie, that he's going to go out with a bang and try and get them there. And they're always tough to beat at home. They don't like each other, these two.
This is an elimination final.
Absolutely.
So the loser of this is
gone.
Done. Dorsky. The winner stays alive for another week. East Geelong and North
Geelong. What
happens
if there's a draw there?
That would make life very tough for both
of them. Righto. Fair enough.
Yes. Doesn't even bear thinking about.
Yep. Right.
East Geelong and North Geelong?
No, Magpies. East off the boil. Might miss the finals.
West and Anarchy. This is West's last realistic chance.
No, Anarchy will win that.
Thompson and Belmont Lions?
Well, Geordie will kick five, but Belmont will win.
And Bell Post Hill and Werribee Centrals, as we told you a bit earlier, Michael Culliver will miss the rest of the season.
Danger game for the Centurions. They seem to struggle at Bell Post Hill.
But they're locked in no worse than a qualifying
Correct.
Final. And they probably know too, even if they were to win both, the Winch's percentage, like the percentage difference is 0.72.
Mm. Yeah, Werribee will win. They should win. 2 weeks out from the finals, they should win.
That puts Bell Post Hill in a precarious spot.
Mm, it does.
Going
it
in.
Does.
So
there's a swing and a roundabout to happen in the GD somewhere along the line, though. You watch.
Yes.
There'll be something going on somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. All right. Bellarine, it is, what are we, round 18, but it's not the last round.
No, because it's... No, that's right.
We're going to 20
rounds. 20 rounds, that's right.
Let's have a look at the games. Well, actually, every game bar one... So, Moderate got the bye. Queenscliff and Surf Coast is 1v11. Queenscliff will win that.
They will.
Queenscliff are coming out of a second semi-final.
They are.
So, first time since 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Torquay and Anglesey. Torquay, we think, are playing in a qualifying final, but it's Anglesey who need to find a way.
Yep. Torquay will win that one.
Ocean Grove and Newcombe. If Newcombe aren't winning this,
well,
they don't deserve to be there.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Newcombe have to win.
Barwon Heads and Ammo's at Winter Reserve.
At the resort. Well, you'd say Ammo's, but no, this is going to be interesting because they both don't know the conditions. They don't know the ground. So, You'd say Amos, though, on exposed form.
And a big Drysdale and Port Arlington claim. This is an elimination final. Yeah.
No, we're backing Binger. He's been in the studio. We're backing the Bing.
Wow.
We're backing Drysdale. They've got a bit of momentum, the Hawks. Here we go.
So Anglesey lose, Newcombe win, and one of Drysdale and Port Arlington win. We will have three teams on 32 points.
That's ridiculous.
With two rounds to play, and Barwon Heads on 36 if they were to lose to Ammo. So their spot would still be somewhat contentious. I still think we're landing at Barwon Heads and Anglesey in elimination final, but I am happy to be proven wrong. I think the only other team that legitimately can get in is Newcombe.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll wait and see what unfolds.
We will.
GFNL this weekend.
Yes, the GFNL.
Yeah, round 17. So still a month of footy. Gravedale and Leopold's an intriguing clash.
It is.
Nathan Kruger might be available.
They're going okay, the Tigers, and the so are the Lions.
Mm.
So this could be a draw too.
Gravedale beat them at Leopold.
I think Gravedale just.
Newtown and Bell Park?
Oh, Newtown, but I'm just sneaking, smelling they're not playing four quarters of footy at the moment, which Stevie J wouldn't be happy about. Yes.
Bell Park might get a few back.
Yep. Bell Park, a little bit of inconsistency too. So it'll be just interesting to see at home, tough to toss Newtown.
Some areas will beat North Shore.
They certainly will.
Battle of the Breaks, St Albans and South Barwon. Can the Super Saints cause an upset?
No, I don't think they can. I think the Swans will win.
And on Sunday, Geelong West and St Joseph's is our K-Rock football match of the day.
Oh, really looking forward to it. St Joseph's.
Colac has the bye. Jace, see you at Kidinya Park on Saturday afternoon.
Tom, big weekend of football on K-Rock.
That was Beyond the Boundary, a K-Rock podcast for footy freaks. Love all things footy. Head to krockfootball.com.au and we'll catch you next time.